Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, folks. Another special edition here of Crantz's Corner. As training camp is opening around the NFL, that means the Miami Dolphins as well. That means my boy, Chris Perkins, is back to the daily grind of covering this NFL. Well, he does all season long. That's not fair to Chris. But he's actually going to be covering people actually in pads soon and playing football and not just topics and rumors and all this stuff. Perk, welcome back to Crantz's Corner. Welcome back to the NFL season.
Hey, Zach, we are close to the NFL violence that we love, right? Knocking people on their butts. That's what I want to see. The talk is good in the offseason. It's exciting. They sign him. They sign him. They lose him. Let's see somebody get knocked on their butt, Zach. This is what it's all about, baby.
I'm so excited for the start. I could smell the grass. I could smell, and Stephen Ross's nice grass. I could smell all of it right now in there and Miami Gardens. Okay, let's start with the hot topic here in South Florida. Obviously, the Miami Dolphins. When it comes to the quarterback stuff, it's always top billing anywhere you go. Tua, Tua's extension. What's going to happen with Tua? We just saw Jordan Love kind of say, I'm not practicing until I get my contract. He's there. I saw him kind of toss a ball in one of the videos today, but toss it underhand with nothing, no Green Bay like swag on at this point. What's going to happen with the extension? What's going to happen with Tua? And if it doesn't get done before the first whistle blows at camp, are we going to see Tua on the field? Are we going to see him practicing? Help me out a little bit here because I am lost in this equation now.
Zach, I'm going to say what I've been saying. I thought this thing was going to be done by the first training camp practice. I guess it still could be, but it doesn't look that way.
Right.
So I think that Tua will report. I think that he'll hold in, which we saw from Christian Wilkins last year. You remember Christian Wilkins didn't do all the 11-on-11 stuff. And so that's what Tua did during minicamp. You remember he did 7-on-7. He did not do 11-on-11. I think we're going to see something similar if the extension is not signed by the time players report on Tuesday, which is tomorrow. So that's what I'm expecting from Tua. Now, here's the thing, Zach. You know, Tua is such a team first guy. August 6th and 7th are the joint practices with Atlanta. And to me, you know how training camps are set up now, that the veterans, that's when they really get their work, is during those joint practices. They don't do a whole lot, team Dolphins versus Dolphins. Right. They don't play a whole lot in the preseason games. It's these intra-squad, the inter-squad scrimmages, joint practices, rather, is when they get most of their work. So I wonder, you know, if Tua doesn't do any 11-on-11 in the joint practice versus the Falcons, Zach, is like a waste of time for the offense, right? And I wonder how heavily that will weigh on Tua. I wonder if Mike McDaniel goes to Chris Greer. I wonder what happens in that situation because, look, if you have Mike White and Skylar Thompson taking those snaps in 11-on-11, it's a waste of time. They're not going to be out there for the season opener against Jacksonville. We don't think. So that you know, Tua, again, you know, and maybe that's what the Dolphins are counting on, that Tua won't want to let down his teammates. Tua won't want to let down his coach, that he will, you know, find a way to get out there for 11-on-11s against the Falcons. Up until then, I don't think Tua would have a problem with a hold-in. I think he would see this as, this is business. This is how business needs to get done in this league, but – Tua being such a team guy, that 11-on-11 joint practice, I think that would be the first major test of a hold in and how committed and dug in and resolved Tua is.
Right. Circle that date on everybody, every Dolphin fan's calendar, just in case nothing happens before that, to see really, that'll be the real first test, right? Yeah. That'll be the see what's really going on with Tua's camp and the Dolphins camp at this point. Listen, I know we're not in the room with Chris Greer. I know that we're not sitting there talking with Stephen Ross. What do you think the holdup is now? And is it guaranteed money? Because I see the rumors flying around all the about guaranteed money. Do you think that's it? Do you think the Dolphins, in their mind, think he's the guy, the franchise guy for this team? Or are they holding out? Like, I don't even know what to think anymore, because everyone else is getting paid, and somehow, some way, Tua is just sitting back. And we all know, and Perk, you'll know this upfront and personal covering all these teams, the minute another guy signs, that price tag and guaranteed money probably going to go up a little bit more. And the more that the quarterback sign, the more it's going to be tougher to get this deal done. What the heck's going on here with this Dolphins and Tua's camp?
I think the Dolphins are saying, Tua, we like you, but we don't love you.
Okay.
You know, and I think Tua is very offended by this. And so, you know, you have a situation here, Zach, of I think the Dolphins at the negotiating table are probably saying, look, this is a meritocracy. You have to earn this money. We appreciate that you led the league in passing yards and you led the league in passer ratings, but you haven't won a playoff game.
Right.
And you have some of the best talent in the NFL. You didn't stay healthy in the 2 years ago. Last year, you couldn't get us over the hump. Granted, Tyreek and Jalen Waddle were injured, and Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips weren't there, and Jerome Baker wasn't there. But you're the quarterback. You couldn't get us over the hump. We can't give you all this money. I think that's probably what the Dolphins are saying, something similar to that. From Tua's standpoint, he's probably saying, look, who are you going to get that's better than me? You're going to have to start all over. Pay me. Like, you have no choice here. Pay me. That's what the market says. You've got to pay me. And I've proven that I am your guy. You haven't gotten, I'm the best you've had since Marino. Like, what else do you want? Are you going to start all over? I think that's Tua's argument, but really in the big picture here, I don't know exactly what's holding up the contract, Zach. It could be guaranteed money. It could be contract structure, where maybe the Dolphins are able to get out of it after 2 years. And Tua's like, no, I don't want that kind of structure. It could be a lot of things. You know, it sounds to me like Tua as the player is concerned about average annual value.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of phony money right there. I think Tua's representatives are probably more concerned with guaranteed money and contract structure. But having said all that, there could be two or three things holding this contract up. But what we know is that the Dolphins are not committed to Tua in the $55 million average annual value range, because if they were, he'd be signed right now, right?
Right, 100%. And you know what this looks like also from an outsider's point of view, not someone who covers the team every day like you, and not someone who's all around the team like I am, you know, during the season trying to cover the team on a daily basis. It almost looks like the fact that they don't think, and maybe he hasn't proven it yet, and maybe he'll never be the guy to do this, they don't think he's the guy that comes into a game and can win the game by himself at the end. He can't be Josh Allen at the end of a game, or Patrick Mahomes at the end of a game, or even, honestly, like a Matthew Stafford at the end of the game, who can take control. You know they're going on the field, drive downfield, score the winning touchdown, end the game. I don't think that the Dolphins brass think that's the guy to do it into, and I think you're right. They like him. I just don't think they love him, but he doesn't give the aura off. And this sounds crazy, and Dolphin fans are going to kill me for saying this. It doesn't give like the aura off of a Justin Herbert, a Joe Burrow, or someone like that, who, you know, if it's the end of the game, here's our big quarter, strong quarterback to come in the game, take over and win it. He's not our Marino. I just feel like that's kind of what the thought process is a little bit. Not the fact he doesn't look it. He's not 6'5", 240 or anything like that. I don't care about that. Drew Brees won a Super Bowl, so we could go with that. But I feel like that's what they don't think he's their Superman, and that's probably not the reason why they're paying him so far.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And you know, along those lines, Zach, I wrote a column saying that, look, Tua, we need to see some magic. We need to see some Keith, some Matthew Tkachuk. I keep saying Keith Tkachuk. Matthew Tkachuk, Jimmy Butler style magic. We need to see some stuff that Mahomes does, that Josh Allen does, that Lamar Jackson does. And look, here's the thing about Josh Allen and all these other players that I just named, you know, Tkachuk and Butler, in a football sense, for Tua, don't just show me those heroics at the end of the game. Show me that on second and four in the second quarter, right? The Josh Allen always pulls something out, right? He's got this tough run where he gets up and his helmet is sideways and he spikes the ball and the whole team is fired up. Like, give us that, Tua. Like, all these moments, third and one in the first quarter, second and five from the 50-yard line in the third quarter. Like, convert these third downs. Keep the drive going. Make some magical plays. Show us that you have magic throughout the game. Matthew Tkachuk does it. Jimmy Butler does it. Like, show us throughout the game. Inspire your teammates. Make guys around you better. Make the opposing defense fear you. They respect you right now. Make them fear you. And I think, to me, that's the last frontier for Tua, right? We've seen he, you know, people like me doubted whether he could throw the deep pass. He did it. He shut me up.
He did, right?
You know, he led the league in passing yards. He led the league in passer rating. He can get off the quick throw. He can stay healthy for 17 games. Now you've got to show us that there is some magic to you and that you can win some playoff games and lead this team to a place that it hasn't been in more than 20 years. To me, that's why Tua hasn't gotten the top dollar. Now, you know, I know everybody hasn't done that. Justin Herbert hasn't done that,
Right.
But really, this is where the Tua argument of the market is what the market is gets off track. Because the market isn't what the market is.
Right.
If the market is what the market is, every quarterback would be paid off Deshaun Watson's contract, right?
Right.
That's an exception. That's an outlier. And I think that the Dolphins are telling Tua, look, we respect you. We respect what you've done, but we don't agree with how much Trevor Lawrence got paid. We don't agree with how much Jared Goff got paid. So we're not going to base your contract on those. We're going to pay you what we think is fair, not what Buffalo thought was fair to pay to Josh Allen and Cincinnati thought was fair to pay to Joe Burrow. And I kind of think that that's also where we're at, that the Dolphins are saying, we understand what Jordan Love is probably going to get.
Right.
We're not going to base your next contract off of that. And obviously, Tua's representatives will take exception to that.
Right. Of course. Oh, no. They're going to be everyone's going to be butthurt at this point. Yeah. Anyone who hasn't signed yet is going to be butthurt by the next guy that signs. And the best part about it is that the entire market will reset in like another year when Patrick Mahomes gets like an extension or someone gets an extension to be the Dak highest Prescott. Paid guy in the league. Right. Dak Prescott will come. He'll get $60 million. Yep. Jordan Love will get close to $60 million. Yep. And then Patrick Mahomes is going to go, hey, I've won a whole bunch of Super Bowls and I don't know what it's like not to play in the AFC Championship game. I should be getting 65. No problem. Let's give him 65 and give him another 5 years.
Right.
That's going to end up happening. But the longer the Dolphins wait, the more it's going to cost them, I think, to get this done. So, like you said, if they love him or if they're almost in love with him or almost think there's magic there, just pay the guy so it's not a distraction all camp long. Because, like you said it perfectly. If day one through day 15 of camp, whatever it is, it's Skyler and Mike White.
Right.
What's the point? Like, just let the defense go out there and do their thing and go over tape with Mike McDaniel inside, because if either one of those guys, and bless them both, they're both in the NFL, they're much better athletes than I am, bless them both. If either one of those guys is starting more than one game this year, and it's not because of injury, but it's because of a contract situation, well, just get me ready for 2025, because 2024 is over for the Miami Dolphins at that point. All right, Tua stuff out the window. Let's get on. What was your favorite Shaq Barrett moment as a Miami Dolphin, by the way? I just want to... How much did that catch you as a surprise, by the way? And you think it's better? I almost think, and I saw people talk about this also, better he did this now than kind of play the Mario Williams season of just kind of here and collecting paychecks. But, man, the one position where they might be the weakest at, pass rusher, not exactly what they needed to happen a couple days before camp. I know a couple of guys are coming in, Ogba and Yannick's coming. Yeah. Like, I know these guys are coming in, but, man, that kind of sucked and caught me by surprise. I'm sure it did to you, too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Me too, Zach. And here's, you know, I'm sure that you know the backstory on this. We got to get the backstory from the Dolphins. You know, Shaq Barrett had a daughter that died maybe 2 years ago in the family pool, like maybe a 2-year-old girl.
Right.
And then I think like a year ago, they had another baby girl. And so when Shaq Barrett says he wants to spend more time with his family, it kind of takes on a different meaning than 100%. When some other guys say it. Here's the thing, though, Zach. Did the Dolphins know that this was a possibility before they signed Shaq? Did Shaq kind of tip them off, hey, I'm going to sign this contract, but I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to make it to training camp? Or did this catch everybody totally by surprise? And again, you know, given Shaq Barrett's, you know, history with the family, you know, it's kind of hard to like shake your fist at him and say, why didn't you tell us earlier?
Right.
Because again, it takes on a different meaning with him. But from a strictly football purpose, you do wish you'd have had a better heads up if you're the Dolphins, because now you're in a tough situation. And look, from a certain standpoint, Zach, you're probably no worse off than you were with Shaq Barrett, because you're getting somebody of his ilk, right?
Right.
Emmanuel Ogbah and Ngakoue, the guys from last year, Bruce Irvin and Justin Thomas and Melvin Ingram, that's who you're going to get.
Right.
You're not getting an Andrew Van Ginkle.
No.
You know, you're not getting a Jalen Phillips. So in a way, you're probably no worse off, because you're going to replace a 9- or 10-year veteran with a 9- or 10-year veteran, and camp has not started yet. But wow, you do wish you'd have had a better heads up.
Right. And now you think about it, it's like, wow, I wish I would have known, because maybe it would have been worth the extra $2 million to keep Andrew Van Ginkle around instead of paying Shaq Barrett and just kept him around for a couple more years, if that was the case. If it caught everybody by surprise, that's one thing. If there was an inkling of, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to play this year, but I'm leaning towards it, and you signed him, that's a bad look for Chris Greer in the front office at that point. But it also says a lot about how they drafted. Imagine if they didn't draft Chop Robinson first. Imagine if they went with another position at that point, a wide receiver or someone there, and we're thinking now, oh my God, what do we do? Hopefully Chop Robinson can do something for this team kind of early in the season, because they're going to definitely need it at that point. Yeah. All right, I saw your article and I saw your stuff. And by the way, if you haven't read Perks, kind of abundance of stuff to get you primed and ready for camp, shame on you. SunSentinel.com, just look it up. Perks got great stuff there. And I was reading some of your stuff, and I know that Anthony Weaver's coming in brand new. We don't know what to expect from him. But I love the fact, the Jalen Ramsey chess piece quote. I love that. And what about Javon Holland? He could be used as a chess piece too, right? Like, I think those two guys, to him, are going to probably be the keys to this defense coming up, outside of the pass rushers, which we talked about. But those two guys could be really big pieces coming up for Anthony Weaver, the way he wants to use them both also.
Yeah, you know what? I'm excited about this defense, hugely excited for the second straight year. Last year it was because of Vic Fangio. This year it's because of Anthony Weaver. And look, yes, the Jalen Ramsey using him as a chess piece is very exciting. Jalen Ramsey was talking about this during minicamp, that, you know, Vic Fangio kept him on one side of the field last year pretty much for the whole time. And Jalen said that was the first time that I wasn't moving, shadowing a receiver. I wasn't used in the slot. I wasn't used as a safety. He likes to be used in multiple ways. And that's what Anthony Weaver has said he's going to do. But let's go beyond him. Your best pass rusher is going to be Zach Sealer. And he had 10 sacks last year. And interior offensive lineman cannot block Zach Sealer one-on-one. So I expect Zach Sealer to move around a little bit, because Anthony Weaver knows, I don't have Bradley Chubb, I don't have Jalen Phillips, now I don't have Shaq Barrett. You know, it's going to be Calais Campbell. It's going to be Mo Kamara. It's going to be Chop Robinson. And so I need to maximize Zach Sealer, keep him away from double teams as much as possible, exploit his athletic ability. So I think Zach Sealer and Jalen Ramsey are going to be your chess pieces. Now, here's the thing. You mentioned safeties. You know, Baltimore last year with Mike McDonald was their head coach. One thing or defensive coordinator, I'm sorry, defensive
right,
coordinator.
Right, yep.
One thing that he liked doing was using three safeties. And I think that we're going to see that. The Dolphins got Marcus May. And I think you're going to see a Jordan Poyer, Javon Holland, Marcus May formation back there, the three safeties. And that's going to be very versatile.
Yeah.
And they're going to be able to use them in different ways. I think Jordan Brooks on the interior at linebacker who replaces Jerome Baker, him and David Long are going to be a fearsome twosome. They are intense. Those two dudes bring some intensity. Jordan Brooks is still athletic. So I'm excited about this defense. You know, Kendall Fuller is out there. We'll see who lands the slot between Cater Coe, who I think he wins the job, but maybe Nick Needham comes on and he can do something there in the slot. Cam Smith, what's he going to develop into? You know, the defensive tackle is beside Zach Sealer. I'm very wait and see on that. I'm not, Neville Gallimore, right, and Benito Jones and those guys. I'm very wait and see on them, but with Anthony Weavers, the kind of the skill and the talent he has at his disposal and his mindset and his thinking and some of the stuff that they used to do in Baltimore, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what this defense can do. I think they're going to play a totally different style than last year. You know, Vic didn't blitz a lot. Vic stayed with the zone defense pretty much. He kept the corners stable. I think you can throw a lot of that stuff out the window this year. I think up front, we're going to see different types of blitzes. We're going to see a lot of man defense. We're going to see a lot more unique formations, as I just mentioned with Sealer and Jalen Ramsey and the three safeties. So I know that's long-winded, but I'm excited about Anthony Weaver and the possibilities that he brings. I really am.
I'm with you. I can't wait to see. Like you said, last year, I was really excited to see how Vic Fangio was going to make this defense top 10 defense, even with guys injured in the beginning of the year. We've talked about that before.
Yep.
Jalen Ramsey didn't show up till halfway through the season, lost his guys at the end of the season.
Yep.
Still top 10 defense. So that's great. I know they lost some guys, but they didn't bring some guys in too. So that's nice to see. But yeah, Anthony Weaver's style, aggressive, moving guys around. It should be a lot of fun to watch. Okay. Let's move to the other side of the ball. Can this offense be better than last year's offense in your mind? They've added a couple pieces playmaker-wise, but they did lose two guys on the offensive line. You know, the offensive line is always a big piece of the puzzle, especially on offense. Do you think they have the possibility of being a better offense this year statistically and everything?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. And here's why. You've got two pieces in slot receiver OBJ and tight end Jonnu Smith that you haven't had previously. And so that gives you better situational options, right? Third and short, goal line, red zone, just two other reliable guys that you can go to aside from Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Raheem Mostert, Durham Smythe, Devon Achane. Now you have Jalen Wright, the rookie fourth round running back, OBJ, Jonnu Smith. I know there's only one ball, and I know your offensive line is kind of depleted, you did lose Rob Hunt. You did lose Connor Williams, and who knows how long Teron Armstead is going to be out there. But I think, Zach, a lot of this is going to be on Mike McDaniel and how can he utilize this talent, because now you've got a lot of the same guys. Again, you lost Connor Williams and Rob Hunt, but you do have Jalen Wright. You do have a healthy Achane, who hopefully he holds out, right? Last for the season, not holds out. You know
holds
what I mean?
Up, right. Holds up, that's it, right. You were there, I was with you. I was with you,
hopefully he stays healthy. But you've got so much offensive talent. You got more offensive talent than you had last year. So I think if Mike McDaniel grows as a coach, which we saw him do last year, you know, his rookie year, they were up there in penalties. They corrected that last year. His rookie year, they were bad at third down conversions. They corrected that last year. So if Mike McDaniel continues to grow as a head coach and he can integrate OBJ and Jonnu Smith, why wouldn't this offense be better, right? Why wouldn't it be better? Because you got better tools now to fill in the gaps of some of the deficiencies that you had last year. So if you get the play calling right and the ball distribution right, this offense should be better than it was last year.
Yeah, when was the last time the Dolphins had a third receiver like Odell Beckham?
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, since Tua got here, even Ryan Fitzpatrick got here a couple of years back, I've been dying to see what they could do with a tight end that could catch a ball in the red zone, and not even the red zone, but like the 20, you know, like a little bit past the 20 and in,
yeah,
or goal to go, you know, where you're on the 3 yard line and they're stopping the run. Give me that big, you know, tight end to catch a ball in the end zone. And Jonnu Smith, I'm excited to see him in the offense. I really am. And the running backs, I think, like you said, between Achane coming back and just hopefully being healthy all season and really taking the reins as the number one guy, Mostert's still doing his thing because he'll be the number one guy until they kind of put him out. But, and Warren too, like, it's going to be a lot of fun to see what Mike McDaniel could do with that offense there. Two more things, I'll let you go. Is the window closing on this team if it's not this year? Because I loved what you wrote. Like I said before, sunsentinel.com, Perkins has wrote a ton of stuff getting you ready for camp in this season. 8 starters potentially over 30 years old.
Yeah.
The window closes when you get to that 30, even that 28, 29-year-old mark.
Yep.
But when you're counting on guys over 30 and there's 8 potential starters, that tells me the window is maybe not closed, but it's getting on the school bus. You're clicking that thing and you're bringing it down. It's tough. It's tough to bring it all the way down, but I'm close. Are we on the same page here? Is this probably the year to either win it and then things are going to change, or do you think there's another year after this?
I think there's another year after this, okay, but I think last year was the year. That was the year you had to do it. This year is probably the year that you have to retool and recover a little bit. That's why you have all these 30-somethings.
Right.
We just saw Shaq Barrett retire, right? He's one of those 30-somethings. We know that Teron Armstead considered retirement, right? Calais Campbell considered retirement. Kendall Lamb has said, this will be my final year. And so you still got OBJ, you still got Raheem Mostert, you've got a Jordan Poyer at 34. So, you know, I don't know, Zach, if you're going to get 15 games plus the playoffs out of all of these 30-somethings.
Of course.
And so now you start going, well, boy, if Poyer doesn't make it, okay, you got Marcus May. You know, Shaq Barrett is already out. It's like, boy, if Teron doesn't do it, well, Kendall Lamb, he did great last year. I always rave about the job he did playing against Dallas at right tackle. He's reliable, but is Patrick Paul ready? VAR, value above replacement, is a great analytic metric. And if Teron has to miss a significant amount of time, I don't know, because his value above replacement, he's up there. So, yeah, a lot of these 30-somethings, you have to look and think, how many games can you get, and are they going to be around for the December-January run? As I wrote, look, this team is 4-10 in December and January. Oof. So, you know, how many of those guys are going to be around, are going to be healthy? Are Chubb and Phillips going to be back both and at least, 80%, 90%? They might not hit 100% this year, but that's fine. If you get 80 or 90% of Chubb or Phillips, you can go to the playoffs on that. Maybe win a playoff game if everybody else is doing their job. But, yeah, those 30-somethings, that's something to watch, because once players get to that age, the body starts breaking down a little bit more easily because you've got so many miles on it. So, yeah, Calais Campbell and OBJ and Teron Armstead, Jordan Poyer, you know, you got to keep an eye on those guys. Tyreek is 30.
Right.
Jalen Ramsey will be 30, but they're both young. They're both, you know, their bodies. I know Jalen, but I'm not worried about them. It's the other guys that I'm more concerned with.
100%, because I just don't want this window to close on such a good roster that quickly. And let me tell you, I love Teron Armstead. I love the fact he's this leader on the team. But if somehow, some way, I see Patrick Paul in the lineup at any point this season, and it's not because of, you know, they're blowing another team out, they're putting the young guys in, that's going to be something. All right, last one I'm going to let you go, because everybody loves to put out their predictions before the season starts. You got to do it. I got to do it. Everybody's got to do it. I got to read you the USA Today predictions that came out today. I'm going to read you the NFC first and then the AFC after, because the AFC is really what I want your comments on. They got in the NFC, the number one seed 49ers, the number two seed Packers, Packers being the Super Bowl, the NFC team in the Super Bowl. Jeez, couldn't even spit that out. Three seed the Eagles, four seed the Falcons. So there's your division winners. Five seed the Lions, six seed the Rams, seven seed the Bears. Okay, so that's interesting, but nothing too crazy in that for me. Niners, Packers, Eagles, basically right up there.
Yeah.
AFC-wise, Chiefs 13-4, number one seed. Didn't say the Super Bowl AFC team yet. The number two team at 12-5 that wins the AFC East, drum roll please, the New York Jets as the two seed and the team to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl and the team to win the Super Bowl, the USA Today prediction. Three seed Colts, 11-6. Four seed, 11-6 Bengals. Five seed Bills, 10-7. Six seed Jaguars, 10-7. Browns, the seven seed, 10-7. I did not mention the Miami Dolphins. They have them at 8-9 and missing the playoffs. But outside of the Dolphins, which I'm sure I want your comment on, the Jets, 12-5, Super Bowl 59 winner. Woo! Hot take city. Let me have it. Perk, your thoughts on that. And listen, I never bring up another kind of entity to one of my friends. Chris Perkins is a Sun Sentinel writer, and he's been my friend forever. I had to bring this up because I am shocked by this so far. But 12-5 in your Super Bowl 59 winner, the New York Jets.
So right now in the USA Today corporate offices, they're probably taking all these subscriptions from Jets fans, right? USA Today.
Right. Click, 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 right, exactly.
So, hey, anybody's Super Bowl prediction, that's it's a stretch to me. It's a stretch. That's all I'll say. It's a stretch.
Right.
It's within the realm of believability, but I've got to see it. I've got to see it first. That's just craziness. Craziness.
Right.
With all due respect to Aaron Rodgers, we know that defense is legit. Brees Hall is legit. Yeah. We know all the weapons. Garrett Wilson, boy, I just don't see them winning the Super Bowl. I just don't see them coming within sniffing distance, meaning the AFC championship. So I think they make the playoffs, but I think that's a stretch. Here's where I want to go with that, Zach. Those teams that you mentioned, the top teams, if I'm not mistaken, the Dolphins have eight games against those top teams, right? They play San Francisco, number one out there, right? They play Green Bay, number two out there.
That's right.
You've got two games against the Jets, number one in the AFC. You got two games against Buffalo. You play Cleveland. And who else in the AFC?
Jaguars, Colts.
Jaguars.
Bills. Right. Jaguars are in there,
the Jags.
Too. Right.
So look at this. And look at the end of the schedule. I don't have the end of the Dolphins schedule with me off the top of my head, but I know the Jets are on it. Green Bay is Thanksgiving. The Jets are on it. Houston is on it December 15th. Cleveland is on it second to last. The Jets are on it in the finale. So if you give that USA Today list any credibility, which I do, give it some.
Right.
Boy, that the finish for the Dolphins at eight games against the top, their top, seven or eight teams in the league, because two against the Jets, two against Buffalo. Green Bay, Cleveland.
Tough. Right.
It's a tough schedule. And you told me that they predict the Dolphins to finish 8-9.
8-9, right.
You look at that schedule, Zach, and if the Dolphins have an injury problem close to what they've had the previous 2 years, 8-9, Shaq Barrett is already gone.
Right.
You can see it. However, I do think that the Dolphins, 10 wins – should be in the bag for them. Should be. 11 is the stretch. 12, can you get that and win the AFC East? But 10 wins should be in the bag for this team. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but they should win 10 and get to the playoffs. To me, and I've said this before, Zach, the big thing for this whole season, you've got to win a playoff game. To do that, you've got to get a home playoff game. And to do that, you probably have to win 11 or 12 games, right?
Right.
So to me, there's your challenge for the Dolphins. However you get 11 or 12 victory, you got to get a home playoff game. If you do that, you're probably going to – there's probably a 90% chance you win a home playoff game.
Sure.
Because you're at home. You're the Dolphins. Right. You win at home. Mike, this team has been dominant at home. So get that home playoff game. But yeah, Zach, it's a tough schedule. Whether or not you put much credibility into that USA Today, Jets going to the Super Bowl, the top teams in the league are, you know, that projection I think everybody can agree with. And there's a lot of them on the Dolphins schedule, especially late in the year. And I just told you the Dolphins under McDaniel, 4-10 in December and January. You got to improve that December, January thing. Have those 30-somethings around. It all ties in.
My other thought on this USA Today thing, and then I'm going to let you run, that means the Jets probably beat Kansas City in Kansas City to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Texans, who I think are going to be a good team this year, 9-8, and the Ravens at 10-7, not making the playoffs. So three teams that I thought would make the playoffs, Dolphins, Texans, Ravens, all out in this model here and there. But it's prediction season. No one's ripping. You can take whatever you want from anything that somebody says. I'm sure somebody's got the Giants at 16-1 going to the Super Bowl in a prediction. Right. And that's fine also. It might be my brother, but who cares? Because he's a Giants fan. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is. Right.
You know what, Zach? Now that gambling is legal in so many states, what we need to tell every writer, myself included, you make a prediction, put some money on it. How much do you believe? Put your mortgage on it. How much do you believe in that? Are you just getting clicks or do you really believe? Like, show me that receipt. Show me that bet receipt. And then I'll give your prediction some credibility. Yeah. Did you put your mortgage on it?
The big dog Joe Rose used to put us all on the spot and say, you really believe it? Put your paycheck on it for next week. And I was like, nope, I don't believe it that much. No. But my $20 bill versus your paycheck, I'll do it any time of the week at this point, right? Because I know that paycheck's got a couple more zeros than mine, right, at that point. Perk, thanks for coming on. Excited for camp to start. Excited for that smell of football and the hits and everything and blah, blah, blah. I'm excited to see you out there as well. It should be a lot of fun. The NFL season is here, thank goodness. I know that we all kind of love the offseason, but man, this is the time of the year when everything starts and the predictions, the hot takes are out. I can't wait. I'm excited for all this. But thanks a lot. Thanks, Perk, for always coming on Krantz's Corner. You know we love you here.
Always. Love it, man. Always, Zach. Anytime, man.
You're the best. Go to SunSentinel.com. Read all Perk stuff before you get to camp. Excited for camp as well. It's been a special edition. The primer for Dolphins training camp. God, I'm excited to say that with my man, Chris Perkins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.